You're listening to an interview taken from the Tonic Talk Show and Podcast, heard exclusively on Zoomer Radio. To download or listen to the original episode or other episodes of The Tonic, please visit thetonic.ca.
Omega Alpha's products are created by their scientific team headed by their owner, operator, and CEO, Dr. Gordon Chang. Dr. Chang holds a PhD in physiology and biomedical engineering from the University of Toronto. He also has 2 years postdoctoral experience in clinical biochemistry, looking at free radicals and antioxidants. He's published over 20 peer-reviewed articles and conference proceedings. Welcome back to the show, Gordon. How are you?
Very good, Jamie, and thanks for having me again.
Always a pleasure to have you on the show. You are a wealth of knowledge. And today, we're going to talk about a topic that I think we touched upon maybe a long time ago, but it's always good to come back to it because it's such an important part of people's lives, particularly the Zoomer listeners, and that is bone and joint health, right?
Definitely. It's interesting when we talk about bone and joint health. Everybody, as we get older, the message we get from the doctors, even my parents when they go see the doctor, invariably I hear the message, you know what, your bones are getting less dense.
Yep.
So that means the bones are thinning. Or the other complaint is, oh, this hurts, that hurts, etc., right?
Yes.
We'd like to think it's the same mechanism, but actually the mechanism is a little bit different on everything that we talk about. Let's just chit-chat a little bit about osteoporosis, which
sure.
is the thinning of the bones. Osteoporosis seems to happen more in women than in men. I shouldn't say it happens more. It affects women more than in men. Men also get more brittle bones, but not to the same extent that women get.
Is that because men's bones tend to be larger and thicker to begin with? Or?
It could be, or men do a lot more weight, strength-bearing tasks than women do.
Yes.
That may be. During when you're younger years, if you're a bodybuilder, etc., or you use weights or you lift a lot of stuff, you know, the natural wear and tear on your bones seems to strengthen your bones to make it thicker so you can walk around with more weight. So it's like even with women, heavier women, right, tend to have stronger bones than skinnier women who in their younger days who are not overweight, right?
Yeah.
And it has to do with weight bearing. And so as like anything else, if you stress it when you're young, it strengthens it. And so to the point when you get older, you have a bigger buffer, for want of saying. So if women in their younger age days do a lot of strength training, so like lifting weights, etc., it strengthens their bone, which as they get older doesn't get as brittle as women who never did any of those type of exercises.
It's still beneficial to do it even when you're in middle age though too, right?
Oh, definitely. It doesn't hurt to start doing it because I've seen studies where they got people who were bedridden, well not bedridden, but could barely
sedentary,
get around.
Yeah.
No, older people
yeah.
who could barely get around, and basically they put them on a weight training type regimen. I mean, they're not lifting Arnold Schwarzenegger type weights,
right.
okay?
Yeah, yeah.
But they're lifting maybe 10 pounds, 20 pounds, etc., as the case may be. But it was a program that they were doing. And what they found was that even after a little bit of training, their mobility increased tremendously. That's one. Secondly, it helped with their osteoporosis. So it's very vitally important to talk about exercise in this.
Okay.
All right.
So I took you off the train tracks. You were telling us about osteoporosis and how it affects women more than men. Where were you going to go from there?
Yeah, well, what I was going to talk about with women, I mean, everybody wants to talk about what supplements should we take for that.
Right.
Right. And this is something that will benefit both men and women. Now, the classic thing that everybody talks to, if you go to talk to your doctor, the first thing he says is you should increase your calcium intake. Right, and then in the same breath, they'll say, "Oh, by the way, also add some vitamin D to that." And that's a classic that everybody recommends.
Right.
All right, and the reason they recommend that is because the feeling is that bones, the primary mineral in there is calcium, is what they use to strengthen the bones, etc. And vitamin D helps deposit calcium into the bone tissue, so it makes sense.
Yes.
However, what they don't also, nobody ever talks about is the fact that in order to build, how do you modify bone? You have to build a bone, right? There's also breakdown of bone at the same time.
Yes.
So what you have to do is to help control the breakdown of the bone. And remember, I've been harping about inflammation, and so on. Well, the process of getting rid of bone is an inflammatory process. Right. So if you can control that breakdown of the bone, you actually can help promote bone buildup.
Are you saying that inflammation causes the bone itself to break down?
One of the causes, yes. There is an inflammatory component. So this is why I'm also promoting take some good antioxidants with whatever regimen you're doing. Because, again, even if you don't believe the thing about the bone, antioxidants is a very good way of controlling a lot of inflammatory processes that go on in the body.
Okay.
Right? So if from diet, fruits and vegetables, green leafy vegetables. That's a very good way of doing it. As we grow older, you know, there's a push for us to consume more plant foods or plant-based foods. But, you know, there's a move afoot now to use the, you know, the Beyond Meat type of thing.
Right.
That stuff to me is overprocessed. You need, the reason you want fresh green leafy vegetables is because it has all the vitamins and the minerals, etc., that you would probably need. You may need to supplement some of that vitamins and minerals, but it's a good way of getting it into your system.
Right. And you know, like nutrients like calcium can be found in leafy greens too, right?
That's right.
Like if you're not a big milk drinker, or if it upsets your stomach, you can get it that way too.
Yeah. And sometimes it boils down to how much can you consume? You see, that's the bottom line.
Yep.
Right? How much can you consume and how much does your body need? Now, getting a little bit away from calcium, but what people don't realize, you need things like magnesium. You need things like manganese. You need things like molybdenum, selenium, silicon, zinc, copper, right? You need all of those minerals because the minerals serve several purposes. One of the things that the minerals do is that they're cofactors in a lot of enzymatic reactions, okay?
Mm-hmm.
The reason you need enzymatic reactions is because something has to power the deposition of the minerals into the bone matrix. Okay, so this, you have to remember, if I'm building new bone, you build a scaffold, and then once you build a scaffold, what happens is then you have minerals that come and get deposited into the holes of the scaffold to actually form bone. Well, the building process of making the scaffold, you need these minerals, right?
Mm-hmm.
You need things like your B vitamins, because one of the things your B vitamins do is that they create the ATP necessary for you to actually power the process, right? It doesn't happen in a vacuum, okay? So you need all of these things. The analogy I'll use is like if I'm trying to build a brick wall and all I did was give you the bricks. Well, if you didn't know you had to scrounge for sand, cement, right, gravel, water, you can't really build a brick wall because you can stack the bricks up, but then what's going to happen? As soon as somebody pushes on it, the whole brick wall tumbles down.
Right.
So you need all those extra things to make it happen. You still need a guy to build a brick wall. You still need a guy who physically lifts the bricks and stacks them up. So it's the same thing in the body. If I need to build bone, I need the body's machinery to produce all these secondary nutrients, etc., to help build that tissue properly. Right.
Okay. Do most people get those building blocks through their normal diet, though? Like, are you able to do that?
Some do, some don't. It depends on what you're eating, etc. All right. You know, like if you're strictly meat and potatoes, again, not to knock the people who eat meat and potatoes.
Yep.
Those folks tend to not to get a lot of these nutrients. So what happens as we go older? What happens? We have a lot of these nutrients in our body. So sometimes what will happen? The body will say, "Well, I need to build bone. So if I can't get it in my food, guess where I'm getting it from? I'm going to start breaking down other tissues and use the components from the other tissues and repurpose it for building bone. So that's what sometimes happens. Example I'll use is if you are on a keto diet, for example,
yep.
Right? One of the things that happen is that you're taking in less carbohydrates and or virtually no carbohydrates, but the brain lives on carbohydrates. I mean, the brain needs sugars to function. It will not function on fat. It needs sugar. So what the body does, the body has the ability to take, biochemically change fat into sugar. Okay?
Yep.
It has that ability, and that's what keeps the brain alive, right? So that's why the keto diet will work. But it's like anything else, you have to break down tissue for it to happen. So if you're going to doing rebuilding bone, etc., or trying to deposit bone, this is what happens. This is why also, if you look at the calcium story and osteoporosis, a lot of people who have lower bone density, if you measure their blood calcium levels, it is actually normal. And the reason it's normal is because the level of calcium in your blood is very important, because calcium does many jobs, right? And I'm just looking at calcium. There's a whole bunch of other stuff that I'm not even talking about, okay? But just calcium. So in order for the calcium sometimes the level to remain normal, what does the body do? It takes the calcium out of the bone and pumps it into the blood. And that's how it's able to maintain normal calcium levels, right? Now, the question is, why? Where's all this calcium going? We don't know. We just know as we get older, you know, the amount of calcium we intake, for whatever reason, doesn't seem to suffice. So we have to get the bone gets remodeled, so the calcium comes out of it. But as the calcium comes out, we're also taking out zinc, copper, all these type of things also.
So is it easy, like, forgive my ignorance on this, but can people be tested as to whether or not they're having low bone density?
You can test. It's easier to test for bone density, right? That's the basis of saying that you're osteoporotic not, right? But if people say, well, okay, your bone density is low, so that should be because your calcium levels are low. But when they measure your blood, your calciums are fine.
Right, yeah.
Right? Right? And so they'll say, well, your calciums are fine, so why are you osteoporotic? Where's this calcium going?
Right.
Right. You know, and these are some of the questions that are being asked today, and they're still trying to figure it out. But then we also intake calcium in our diet. So the question becomes, is why is this calcium not being used to increase the bone density, et cetera? Right. And sometimes that has to do with the fact that the cofactors are not there. Right. We know we need vitamin D to help incorporate calcium into a bone, right? But what I'm trying to say is that the message that a lot of people seem to forget is that we also need a lot of the other nutrients for this process to happen properly.
So let's focus on the supplement side for the last few minutes of the interview, and that is, how do we know which supplements to take and which are the best and which are actually helping us with dealing with osteoporosis?
You see, when you ask that question, my answer to that is that building bone does not occur in a vacuum.
Right.
All right. And so when we ask the question, which supplements directly works on this, it's sort of a valid question, but also not a valid question, because we're looking at this in a vacuum. And this is why I tend to look at in our industry, we call it a more holistic approach. We want to look at everything all at once. But anytime you look at everything all at once, the picture gets more confused, right? When we were at university, everything was taught in systems, okay? And sometimes after you finish going through all of these things, you think that little system occurred in a vacuum and none of the other systems touched that system. But we know that's false. So this is why what I'm saying, one of the things that you should be taking is to take a good B vitamin, a B supplement, right? A B complex supplement. So you have things that B1, B2, B3, B5, B6, right? B9, B12. You need all of those things, right? Biotin, etc.
Yep.
You need all of those things. Right. Don't forget to take a good antioxidant, because one of the things we know about when we remodel bone, etc., right, if there's a huge inflammation component, what I call a chronic inflammatory component, we need to control that. If we can control that with using antioxidants, etc., it makes the bone building process happen better. Meaning that, by that I mean that we build a bone, right, it stays. The analogy I like to use to that is if I'm building a brick wall, I have a guy putting all the bricks up with mortar and cement, etc. And then I have another guy who is Mr. Inflammation. He's taking a chisel and a hammer and he's knocking the bricks out as we go along, right? So pretty well, it's a race between the guys filling in the bricks and the guys taking the bricks out. Now, if I can stop the guy from Mr. Inflammation from taking the bricks out, then my brick wall grows faster and builds and gets stronger, right? And that's what I'm trying to do. So anti-inflammatory, antioxidants is a wonderful thing to take as part of your treatment regimen, right?
Fantastic.
Make sure you also take a lot of the trace minerals, right? So the trace minerals like the copper, the manganese, the selenium, the silicon, all of those things are helpful in the process of building bones. Okay.
Fantastic.
So those are some of the things that that I stress on. Just don't take a look at. We tend to fall into that trap. This thing is, calcium is good for building bones, so that's all we take, and we ignore everything else.
So that's the takeaway today then, right? Don't just focus on the calcium.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for coming on the show today, Gordon.
Thank you for having me again, Jamie.